priestless one. And he was the priestly, he was the princely priest. It's amazing, isn't it? Royal. Royal. And he lays down his life for us. It's wonderful. But I'm not preaching on that this morning. That's just a thought. If I were here yesterday morning, that's what I would have preached on. But the Lord laid upon me another message last night and this morning, and I said, Lord, I really want to know what the word is to the family of God here. So we're going to have the scripture reading from Exodus. While Susan has been in hospital, and it's been a real testimony to the uniqueness of the family of God and to how precious the family of God is. It's very wonderful and very lovely, and we would wish to express our thanks to you. Susan sends her love, of course. She'd love to be here. She will be, by the grace of God, next time. And that is really marvelous. So we are going to pray a moment. Heavenly Father, just may the anointing of thy Holy Spirit come upon me, and may you enable me to speak forth the word of the Lord this morning, that it might bring blessing and benefit and life and freedom and liberty in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, we just pray. We desire the revelation of the Lord. We need the inspiration of the Lord. And, oh, Lord God, we just pray that we may be empowered by you. And, oh, Lord, anointed of you to fulfill thy will in our day and in our generation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It's amazing how things happen, isn't it? Whereby that the other day, Susan's been in hospital for 6 weeks. She's at home now. I said to Susan, one of your great advantages, dear, is the fact you've got me to look after you. Huh? It's true. Yeah. And but before all that, there was a day when a lady came up called Jean. She's a Christian lady. We've been great friends all our lives. And said, oh, Susan, do you think you can... I've done a silly thing. I've left my side lights on when I've been waiting for my granddaughter at the school. Battery's flat. And Susan gives me a shout, and she says, can you help Jean to start her car? And Susan's a great believer in jump leads. And in a sense, jump leads have great spiritual significance, because they are transferring power one to another. Isn't that right? So I took the car and up with a bonnet and a pair of jump leads and transferred power from one to the other. And along came a neighbor, and he's been a farmer, a contractor in his working life, and he'd like to still think he's in his working life, but it's not so good as it was. And he came along the pavement, and I said, how lovely to see you, Roger. I said, you've had a heart attack. Yes, he said, I've had a heart attack. He said, I'm out walking, because he said, that's what they recommend you to do when you... So I said, you're on the road to recovery. He said, yes, I am. I said, now, how old are you? I'm being tactful, and I'm being... And I said, how old are you? He said, well, he said, I'll be 72 next February. Oh, I said. So what it boils down to is the fact that the Lord has given you extra time to get your eternal destiny sorted out. That's right, isn't it? I mean, he's 70. I said to him, I said, you're 70 and 10 are up. Yeah. Yeah. But this is what the Bible tells me. I mean, I was trying to cheer him up. And the thing was the fact that... so he said, well, he said... And you got to remember the fact that we know each other quite well, and I've spoken to him about the Lord at other times. But you wouldn't see him in a place of worship on Christmas Day in the morning, or Easter, or any other time, unless he's dressed up in black to go to somebody else's funeral. That's the only time you see him in church, and his family, sadly. And he says to me on the pavement, he said, the thing is, he said, just like my father said, he said, nobody have come back from the dead to tell us. And I said, that's not right. I said, Jesus has. And then he went into another quiver. And he went on his way. And I went back and I said to Susan, I said, seen Roger, and spoke to him. And I said, anybody would think that I was administering poison. Because I said to Roger, I said, eternal life is a free gift of God unto them that believe. I said that to him. And I said, anybody would think. And then our daughter phoned up, Debbie, and she said, oh, she said, they tell us, I've heard there's a bullock out on the road. Can you go up and see Dad? I'm somewhere else. I said, of course I'll go and see. And so I went up the road, and there was Roger's brother. And he says to me, he says, it's all right, Richard. He said, the bullock has gone down the lane. He's off the road. It's all fine. I said, well, that's great. So I said to him, I said, I saw your brother the other day. This is what you call witnessing in the third person. But I haven't got the intellect to do it like that. But I said to him, I said, I saw your brother the other day. I said, he's recovering from his heart attack very well. Yes, he said, he is. I said, he's out walking. He said, he's doing more walking now than he ever has. So I said, and how are you? Oh, he said, I don't know. He said, I got aches and pains all over. I said, well, is it above the waist or below the waist? Well, he said, I don't know. I said, well, is what above the waist affecting below the waist or what? I said to him, I said, you know, I said, the secret is put in your, is having a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he went into a spasm just like his brother did. Yeah. And I said to him, I said, I spoke to your brother the other day. I said, I told him about the fact he's on borrowed time to get his eternal destiny sorted out. And I said, could be the same for you. And it's surprising what you can say, or I think it's surprising what you can say with a sense of humor and a smile on your face. I always remember seeing a film, and it was about espionage and training this young lady to be a sniper and everything else. And the lady said to this young lady that was being trained, she said to her, the secret is being able to say serious things with a smile on your face. You know? And in a sense, there's a truth in that for Christian witnessing. There's a truth in that for Christian witnessing. If people take offense, that's their problem. But once again, anyone would think the gospel is poison. And so I did my bit. And then I said, lovely lot of cattle down there, isn't it? I changed the subject. I'd sown the seed and got on with it. Now, what was really interesting is, in fact, Susan's had different opportunities, of course, in hospital to speak to people and to care for people as well as being cared for herself. And that's really lovely. Now, a day or two ago there, I thought myself, I went in and I pushed out the boat and bought a packet of Werther's. They were the soft-centered ones. And when I got up into the sitting place where the two wards meet, there are some seats there, and I saw a fellow back there in the corner on his own. Maybe had the advantage of being a little younger than me. And so I said to him, would you like one of these? And I sat down with him, and he took one. So he obviously didn't think it was poison. And so then we began talking, and he said of how that he was on holiday and he found his wife collapsed because of fluid on her lungs. And they, at that time, they were in Appledore and they went to Barnstable Hospital, referred to Exeter Hospital, ended up in Plymouth Hospital. And he said, well, she's having an operation, a biopsy, and to see what's causing all this. And I said to him, I said, we are Christians, and we find that being Christian is a great help to us. I said, they say, in times like these, we need a Savior. And I said, thank God, I said, in times like these, we have a Savior. And so I spoke to him about that, and then that was, we had a nice conversation. And then a day later, I think it was a day later, 2 days later, I was in the restaurant on level 7, folks, and had my tray of goodies for lunch, and this gentleman came over and said, "How lovely to see you." I said, "Well," and my mind was doing overtime because I see so many people, and I said, "Well, lovely to see you too." And he said, I said, "And how is it with your wife?" And he said, "Well, it's bad news. They say they can't do anything for her. Everything is too advanced." And it's, and I said, "Well, I am so sorry to hear that. I am so sorry to hear that." I said, "Would you like me to pray with you?" And he said, "Oh, no, I don't want anything like that." I said, "That's fine. But I said, you do have our commiserations." And I said, "It must come as a terrible shock to you." How to cope without Jesus in times like that, I just don't know. But one doesn't know. We are just links in the chain. We are just one step along the way of life's pilgrimage, and we all have spheres of influence where we can drop a word in for Jesus and for his glory and for dear people's salvation. So there we are. I want to bring you this word this morning. If you want, remember, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. But here in Exodus, we read of something absolutely astonishing, which affects us today, which affects our nation today. Everyone will be looking so solemn and so right that we do have respect and we do pay and give thanks to the Lord and for those that laid down their life in the First and Second World Wars and for all liberty and for all the freedoms. But dear friends, be under no mistake about it, in the history of this nation, we are standing in great peril today in the life of our nation. And to overlook that would be a travesty. They tell us that mental health is an incredible problem. They tell us that suicide is an incredible problem. We see the breakdown of the home and of the family. And we see the fact of one lady yesterday, she was a nurse on the ward, and she said that when I got rid of my ex-husband, I then had two dogs instead. And I said to Susan, "I hope you don't do that with me." And she said this. She said, "You look at one of the dogs, you know, and you can see the devil looking at you out of one of the dog's eyes." And she kept repeating it. And I said to her, "Have you got any answer for that then?" But she didn't understand what I was trying to get at. I was fishing. The bait was on the hook. But the point is the fact that we as a nation are in great peril. Are in great peril. Now, some people want Brexit to happen, and some people don't. I understand that, and I respect that. But we have found ourselves now in the life of our nation that you mustn't talk about one thing or another because it's not politically correct. And what they're doing is the fact they're muzzling freedom of speech and the liberties that were fought. And if it wasn't for Britain and if it wasn't for America, the continent of Europe would still be under the jackboot of fascism. No doubt about it. And some of these things need to be said. And I sent a card the other day to Jacob Rees-Mogg and also to Boris Johnson and also to David Davis. And I could have sent a lot more to other people just to say the fact of how much I appreciate their commitment and dedication for our deliverance from Europe. And I put in my second paragraph the fact that we of Cornwall, I thought that was rather good. We of Cornwall would want to encourage them and pray for them. for the final outcome and deliverance. Now, many people make their opinions and their decisions concerning Europe about economics. I'm not interested in the economics of it all. But what I am, and I have great love for the German people or the French or any people of Europe. I've got great love for them. My hatred and my stance is against Europe is its political stance and its anti-Christian stance. And the thing is the fact that here we find in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23, 24, and 25, we find here that the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Here we find that these people found themselves enslaved. They had no say over their own life. They had no say over their own future. They had found themselves that they were a people of promise. With Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had a rich and a wonderful pedigree of faith in the Almighty God. And now they find themselves under the affliction of the Egyptian in bondage and in slavery. And we find the fact that they cried unto God by reason of their bondage. And God heard them. Isn't that wonderful? God heard them. Oh, praise God, that God hears the cry of his people. He doesn't neglect them. He doesn't overlook them. He doesn't put them to one side and say, well, that was history. God hears the cry and God remembers his covenant with his people. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And then we read the fact that what does the Lord say? He's with Moses, he sees this burning bush. This isn't just a little bush like this. It's a huge bush and it's on fire. And Moses turns to one side. He says, I will turn to one side and see this great thing. Fire, but not being consumed. The presence of the Lord Jesus there, speaking and revealing himself to Moses and speaking to Moses. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says this. He says, in verse 8 of chapter 3, he says this, I am come down to deliver. Hallelujah. This is God speaking. This is one of the great I ams. I am is a title of God. And the Lord says, I am. I'm come down to deliver. Hallelujah. And dear friends, if it wasn't Jesus that come down and delivered our nation in the Second World War and in the First World War, dear friends, we would be in bondage. We would be in bondage and we would be at the dictate of some dictator that would take you to the gas chamber without a second thought. Would line you up against an open grave and shoot you until the carcass lay upon carcass. They would no mercy, no love, no kindness. Just the devil coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And we thank God for the men and women who were raised up of faith. And our dear King George VI, who called 7 days of national prayer. You don't hear about that. But God, he was led of God to, and he was a good Christian man. And I pray for the royal family today that every one of them will be born again of the Spirit of God. Are you praying for that? And we pray, oh, how God, in those times of Dunkirk, in the times of Al Alamein, in the times of the Battle of Britain, it all followed the glorious national days of prayer. And my parents would say the fact the chapels were and the churches were flooded with people. They crowded in and they interceded to the Almighty God. But where are we at this time? Where are we at this time? We have laws upon our statute book that should never be there. There is no such thing as same-sex marriage. They might legalize it and they might make it, the fact is worded. But in the sight of God, it never exists and it will never exist. All this rubbish, all this pollution, all this disregard for the authority of the Word of God. Any civilization that has upheld and has promoted sodomy has been a civilization which is not only in decline, but will be destroyed by the wrath of God. And dear friends, it would be much easier for me this morning to preach you some simple, soft, peddling message. But dear friends, what do you want? I tell you what I want. I want the truth from the Almighty God. I want the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when the Son will set you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I am not being told by a politician, and I am not being told by the wicked and the ungodly what is right and what isn't right. I am going to receive my revelation from the Word of God. And the Word of God gives me the revelation of eternal life. Dear friends, people are saying, and the devil is hoodwinking and deceiving with great deception, that there is so little difference between the godly and the ungodly, between hell and heaven. But hell is a place where Jesus has said over and over again in the gospel, a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched, and where the worm dieth not. Oh, dear friends, there is not one person who is an unbeliever in hell. And one moment in hell, and they see the jaws of hell open, and they are swallowed up under the condemnation that they could have chosen Jesus, and they could have chosen life, and they could have known the joy of sins forgiven. And what did they do? They turned away from the loveliness of Jesus. They turned away from the loveliness of Calvary. They turned away from the risen Savior, and they chose death. How mad can a man be? How blinded can a man be to choose death rather than life? And the life is found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. There are not many saviors. There is but one. Oh, we praise God for Jesus. And when Jesus came down and he saw the travail of his people in Egypt, he said, I will give you signs and wonders. And those 10 plagues, according to Bishop Usher, took place in the year 1491 B.C. And Bishop Usher says, the Jewish tradition says that the plagues, those 10 plagues took place over a 12-month period. But Bishop Usher says that those 10 plagues took place in a one-month period. It was intense. It was compact. It was powerful. The presence of God come down in the midst of his people for deliverance. And dear friends, that is what we are needing today in the life of our nation. Whether it's Brexit, whether it's the home and the family, whether or not it's in society, whether it's in the workplace. Dear friends, there is salvation in no other but the precious name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what is needed. I tell you why young people are self-harming and young people are depressed, because they aren't told that they were created in the image of God for the glory of God. They're told by Attenborough and his like as if man is but a higher level of a monkey with an ape mentality. Well, if that's how you are, David Attenborough, you go your way. But as for us, I am created in the image of God for the glory of God. And we are on our way to heaven. We are God's people. And dear friends, the Lord came down in the midst of his people to deliver. And he did deliver. On the night when the blood of the Lamb was put upon the lintel and the doorpost, it was that night. And it will be the day and the time When we put the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon ourselves and say, Lord, cleanse me in your blood. Lord, cleanse me in your blood that flowed from Calvary. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood. And that night when that lamb was slain and when the blood placed upon the lintel and the doorpost, it was that night that God brought them out. And we cannot as a nation, we cannot as a people, we cannot as a family nor as an individual know liberty unless we are under the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and know him to be a wonderful Savior in times like these. Dear friends, it is wonderful to know that God is calling us today to pray, to intercede for the life of our nation. Dear friends, if we don't do anything else, you get down on your knees and you pray to God, Lord, deliver our people, deliver our nation. It's the only way, it's the only hope for our nation. And dear friends, the lovely thing is this. You have exhibited wonderful love and set a tremendous example, and we so appreciate your loveliness and your love toward us in these past weeks. But I can say to you and that the Father is a family of God throughout the West Country and throughout the country who is a faithful remnant unto the Lord. And it falls to us. It falls to us to pray in a tremendous deliverance at this time for our people and for our nation. We just don't want anything to do with the dictate of the Antichrist of Europe. We just want to be set free from that demonic activity. And we pray by the grace of God, we want and we pray that under the Lord Jesus Christ, God would visit us in revival, in the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. We want a tsunami of the anointing of God's grace to sweep our communities and to sweep our families. We want to see the prodigals come home. Oh, dear friends, pray and believe it. Pray and believe it, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. I must close. Otherwise, I get accounted as being long-winded, and you'll never get up that hill. But I have shared with you, I would rather share something which was much less controversial. I would rather share with you something much less than get you higher rate and come to me afterwards and say, I didn't think I liked you, but now I really don't like you. But I've got to be true to you. And I've got to be true to the Lord. And I want to be true. And oh, dear friends, won't it be wonderful in glory? You say that I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. There's too many people these days, and they are pacifists. And they just want to say, oh, go along quietly, and it will all be all right. It will not be all right. The devil is too active. And he's too cunning. He's too deceptive. And he's a destroyer. We depend upon no one else but Jesus. And when the children of Israel, they were delivered. They were delivered. And they were set free. And the Egyptians say, oh, we're not going to let these people go free. We've had a change of mind. We're going to. And they sent out the chariots and they sent out their armies. And the children of Israel heard the thunderous step of the Egyptian army. And they were afraid. And they were fearful. And suddenly, God says to Moses, command the people. Command the people. They go forward. Behold, the salvation of the Lord. May we go forward and behold the salvation of the Lord as we intercede for our loved ones and for our families, for our communities, for our nation and her people. May we go forward and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.